Welcome to the gospel meeting. Maybe we could start by singing number 19 on our hymn sheet. Number 19. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Number 19. Tonight the gospel is the good news that the Lord Jesus came into the world, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you relate with this song that we sang? The pleasures lost I sadly mourn, but never wept for thee. Have you ever had that sick night for sin? Have your sins ever bothered you? Tonight is our prayer that by the Spirit of God, you would feel the weight of your sins and you'd come to the Savior tonight. We could ask for help. Our God and Father, we give thanks that we can give forth the gospel, the good news that the Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And we thank thee that the gospel is so simple, and yet a child can understand it. We give thanks that, Lord, we have thee in thy grace. Thou hast provided another opportunity to plead with young men and young women, older men, older women, ones that have heard the gospel maybe many, many times, and plead with their souls to the foolishness of preaching. We just pray for help for the speaker. We pray that the atmosphere in the room would be as such that people would pay attention. We would not be able to discourage a soul that is would come to Christ tonight. We just give thanks. We pray for help in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a lot of thirsty souls in this world. There may be a thirsty soul in this world, in this room tonight. You know, there's a little bit of a theme that this next song we sing, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this song, this children's song that we sing. It's a little different than this. Behold the Savior at the door, number 20. He gently knocks, has knocked before. Have you heard the Lord knocking on your heart's door and you've not come? You know, in the prayer for the gospel, there was a man that prayed that same prayer. Is there somebody in this room who's felt that knocking? Last night, the gospel was given so faithfully. That speaker used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so skillfully. Verse after verse after verse. One verse, you could be saved. Were you there last night, and you've listened to the gospel, and you've rejected it? And here you are again tonight. Or is maybe did you walk in, I don't know everybody, and is the first time you've ever heard the gospel? I don't know. But let's sing number 20, Behold the Savior at the Door.
Behold the Savior at the door.
To start with a verse in Revelation 3 and verse 20, which sums up this hymn that we sung. Revelation 3 and verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Tonight there's an invitation to come. Come and drink of the water of life freely. Tonight, the gospel is free. We sing that song, the gospel is free, God sends it to thee. The gospel is free to you tonight, but it cost God his only begotten son. We had that verse last night, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, if that's the only thing you hear tonight, you can get saved right there. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. All the words that I say tonight don't mean anything, but the Word of God, you have to believe that the Bible is the Word of God to be saved. This is the inspired Word of God. It's the authority by which everything we say tonight is going to be said. If you don't believe the Word of God, you cannot be saved. He says, I am the Word. Let's look back in John chapter 1. We have to have a reference point. You know, when you're giving people the gospel, they try to bring up all different kinds of things. But God is the reference point. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. That is who He is. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Tonight, we stand on the Word of God. That is the authority by everything that we have. The Word of God. You know, God, man likes to change God into what they want Him to be. They want to have a comfortable God. They want to have a God that makes them feel comfortable in their sins. But you know, God, we read in Isaiah 40, I want to read a few verses. He is not like us. He has standards. God is holy. And in Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to tell you where I got this reference. I think it's amazing. There's a Bible in every room in this hotel. And if you look in the front of the Bible, it talks about the standards of God, Isaiah 40. I thought it was incredible. Okay? It's not that I'm a smart guy, didn't go to college, didn't learn this. You can find it in the Gideon Bible in the hotel. You know, it's easy to be saved. The information's all there, the Word of God, it's very easy. And tonight, what we want to do is when you're in this room tonight, we want you to focus. We want you to put your smartphone down. You don't need to text somebody. It'll be okay for 45 minutes. Trust me, I'm a texter. You can just sit and listen to the Word of God. This is serious. People sit for hours and plan trips. They plan trips. They think of all the things that could possibly happen. They plan their finances. They plan everything. But they don't plan their eternal destination. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to find out, do you know where you are going? I've talked to a lot of smart people, and they're so smart that they think that they know more than the Word of God. You can't know more than the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 12, it says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. That's the God we're talking about tonight. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? No one has taught him. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? No one. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offerings. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. Verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understanding from the foundation of the earth? Tonight, this is the one who we're talking about. His thoughts, as we find in Isaiah 55, are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. God, this is God and then we're man. We are sinful man. Sinful men, it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we had that this morning. It doesn't matter how far you go, you're still short. You're short. And you cannot attain to your standards, to God's standards. In Revelation 21, it's not original with me, but it's the Word of God. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, it talks about the things that can't get into heaven. It says, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth it, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Have you ever told a lie? Is there anybody in this room who has not told a lie? I've told thousands of lies. It's embarrassing. Is there anyone in this room who has not told a lie? If you've told a lie, you can't get into heaven. We know that from the Word of God. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all short. You know, tonight, I was corrected by someone after the gospel once, and I thought it was good. And we heard this, I believe, either yesterday or today too. You know, I have heard it said, there's two things that can happen that you need to get saved. There's two things might happen, but you know, there's three things. The two things, the Lord Jesus might come or you might die. But there's actually three things. Let's look at that third thing. It's in Genesis. This is a very scary thing. It says in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3, and I'm missing the verse, but it says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Sorry, 6:3. Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts men of their sins. And without the Holy Spirit convicting you of your sins, you cannot be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You cannot come as a sinner. And tonight, it scares me to think that He has been knocking on your door many, many times, and you've ignored that knock. And He could stop knocking on your door. And it wouldn't make any difference how many gospel meetings you went to after that. You could not be saved. The Spirit could stop striving with you. Do you know when that's going to happen? I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen to anyone in this room tonight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying no for the last time? If you were in this room unsaved last night, you said no to Christ. And God in His grace did not come last night. That's incredible. Men trifle with God. They play with Him. They treat Him like He's one of them. I had a man tell me, he said, I will get saved if God answers me. God's not going to answer you. God is not on our level. He's God and we are man. It's important to realize that God is holy and you are a sinner. What did God do? What is in the gospel? What really is the gospel? It's about a holy God and a sinner and the good news that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. You know, I heard a story. It's an old story. Many, many people have heard this story. About a captain of a boat. And the boat, just years ago, the boat was sinking. And water was going into the vessel. And the captain said, put the pumps down there and pump it as hard as you can. And they went down and they pumped it and they came back to the captain and they said, there's nothing we can do. And he said, how big is the hole? And the man said, it's as big as a man's arm. He said, all crew on deck. He looked at that crew and he said, one of you's got to dive underneath that boat, put your arm in there and you're going to die, but you're going to save all of us. No one took him up on it. His son, the captain's son, said, I will go. He dove underneath that boat, put his arm underneath that boat, and saved every one of them, those men. On his tombstone, it wrote, he died for us. That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall go for us? I will go, send me. That was a conversation that happened before man was ever created. That was a conversation in eternity. He knew your need. My friend, if you are not saved, you're on a sinking boat. You're on a sinking boat. You just don't know it. You are sinking. Your sins will sink you into hell. You know, God is seeking you. In Isaiah, we referenced that in Isaiah 55. Just look at that verse real quick. Isaiah 55, let's read verse 1, start with verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. We sang about that. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, there is nothing to do to be saved. You know, in Acts 16:31, there's a question. It says, what must I do to be saved? You know what the answer is? There's nothing to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do because the work has been done. God gave his son. He gave the best. God is a giving God. You know, Satan is a thief. And he takes away and God gives. You know, Satan wants to take away the word. That's what he wants to do. Tonight he's going to whisper in your ear. There's an enemy. He does not want you to be happy. He does not want this word to go forth. He would do anything. He would discourage me from standing up here. He would do absolutely anything so you could not be saved. But you know, God, in his grace, is letting the gospel message go out one more time. And you're here tonight. And you can hear the gospel and you can be saved right now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, there's not a promise that the gospel is going to go forth tomorrow night. There's no promise on it. Would you gamble? I mean, people wouldn't gamble with their money like this. Would you do it with your soul? Really, would you do it with your soul? Would you do that? Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Tonight you can live. You can have everlasting life. That's a life that no one can take away from you. You can be in a car wreck. You can lose your health. You can have anything happen to you, but you have everlasting life. There's nothing anyone can do to take away everlasting life. That's something that God himself gives you. Do you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you wouldn't even want to go to heaven. You wouldn't want to be there because you have your sins. Tonight, you need your sins washed away. Do your sins weigh you down? Do you like your sins? Are you enjoying your sins? Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. You have to forsake your sins. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that. A U-turn. You have to repent of your sins. Tonight, this is not just that God loves you and he just wants you the way you are. No, you have to repent of your sins. You have to be sorry for your sins. Your sins put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Can you say the Lord Jesus died for my sins? I can say that. If something happens to me, I know exactly where I'll be. I have confidence because my sins were paid for. My sins were paid for. Have your sins been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He will have mercy, in verse 7, upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It doesn't matter. Tonight, it doesn't matter how bad a sinner you are. He will abundantly pardon you. Paul the Apostle said he was the chief of sinners. You know, the chief sin. Anybody can get saved. You know, if you're in your sins, you may have a problem. I've had people tell me they have a problem with this. A murderer can be saved. Don't underestimate the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ is powerful. It will cleanse your sins, all of them, all the way. It doesn't matter how bad you are. God's sacrifice is the Lord Jesus. He's the perfect, holy, spotless Lamb of God. God gave His best. What are you going to do with that tonight? Are you going to still try to argue with Him and say, hey, you know, it's not good enough. I want to buy my way. I need some time. I need to think about this. It doesn't make sense. No. Verse 9 and verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You have to throw away your thoughts. If your thoughts are not thoughts that are from the Word of God, they're no bueno, man. No bueno. No good. Your thought process is bad. You have to leave your thoughts all aside. Leave them all aside. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we don't even think the way that God thinks. And so for us to try to, with our finite minds, we have to believe it by faith. Tonight, you have to accept it by faith. You know, if you want to come in this room with mere logic and you want to try to explain this away, we are wasting our time. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you know the great thing about it is? You could have walked in the room with no faith and He's willing to give you that faith. It's a gift of God. He will give you the faith to believe. He's willing to give you all the ingredients to believe. You don't have to use all of your logic and try to figure this out because you're not going to be able to. You know, I had a man tell me, I guess it would be last week, I asked him if he was saved. He said he wanted to take me out for my birthday. I said, okay, now you're taking me out for my birthday, I'm going to ask you a question for my birthday present. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, I have beat around. I apologize. I am one of the worst at witnessing to souls. I know that sounds crazy. We have these philosophical discussions. We beat around the bush for 10 years. But he will not say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, you believe in a narrow way and I believe in a wider way. You can't get to heaven that way. So I had to tell him about a verse in John 14:6 that we're going to turn to. It really makes me sad. I'd like to get a text from him that says, you know, I'm saved. I don't have that to say. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. You know, I didn't write the Bible. This is the Word of God. It's a standard. No one in here had anything to do with writing this. This is God's way. God's way is Jesus. You can't get to heaven without going through the cross. And looking up at that cross and saying, your sacrifice is good enough for me. Thank you. Contrary, you can't get to hell without going to the cross and saying, no, I will not have this man to reign over me. The road to hell is blocked with the cross of Christ. It's hard to get to hell. You have to say no to God's gift. You know, men have it backwards. There's no one in this room that can walk out of this room right now and say, I don't understand. And if there is, come to me afterwards. I'll explain it. Or anyone. There's all kinds of people that can explain it. How could you leave this room and not understand? You have to go to hell. If there's anyone in this room that goes to hell, you will have to look up at that cross and say, that sacrifice, God's Christ, is not good enough for me. Can you imagine the audacity to say that? You say, well, I haven't made a decision tonight. If you haven't made a decision, it's a no. This man wanted to waffle around. He said, well, he says, maybe that verse means something like an eternity or something. I said, you know, I'm a big picture guy. I'm trying to figure out how to get you from point A to heaven. Are you going to heaven tonight or are you going to hell? We don't have 3 hours to talk about every little detail in the Bible. He said, hey, you know, what translation? I said, you know what? I got every translation known to man on my phone here. I said, you know what? Every one of them will probably get you saved. Let's just look up John 14:6. There's one way. You know, people want to argue about little details. This is, are you lost? And do you want to be saved? It's very simple. It's very simple. If you look in that verse, I am the way. You know, he just got done saying that the Lord Jesus said that he was the way. This isn't mystical. The Lord Jesus said he was the way. The Lord Jesus said that he was the truth. The Lord Jesus said that he was the life. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living. He wants to give you the full deal. He wants to give you everything you need. He wants to give you life, as we had last night, and more abundantly. He wants to give you abundant life. He doesn't want you just to get out of going to hell. He loves you. He died for you. I want to look at a woman in John 4. It's been mentioned many times through this Bible conference. Just want to pick a couple things out. The Lord Jesus is seeking you tonight. He's at your heart knocking. He walked around 42 miles to go see this woman. Not because she was a good person. No. Not because she wanted him to come. Because he knew that there was a need there. I didn't go out of my way to come here. Didn't put any luxuries aside at all. It was an upgrade to come here. This hasn't cost me anything. You know, I am not the reference point here. As John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. You need to take your eyes off the speaker. You need to look at the Word of God and you need to think, am I saved? Can I relate with that woman who was thirsty? Is there something in you that is not satisfied? There's just like this empty feeling. You know, Christ can fill the feeling. Maybe tonight you are saved. And maybe you're trying to fill your life with other things. You know, you won't be satisfied until you come and fill yourself with those things. Feed on Christ. Tonight, if you're a hungry soul and you've come, once saved, always saved. John 10:9, I want to read that because I think it's very important. You're talking to a guy who probably wanted to get saved about 100 times when he was a kid. After Gospels was the worst possible thing at the Sester household. And so on John 10:29, let's start with verse 28. And I give, John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That is God's word. That's fact. That's not maybe. That's not fiction. I like factual things. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that are not factual. That's factual. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're in Jesus' hand, and you're in the Father's hand. You can't get out. And I had a neighbor ask me, but you could jump out. And I said, no, you can't jump out. And then you could turn to Exodus, and it said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Who wrote that? God. When God sees the blood. The blood is on the outside of that door that night. You could not see the blood. But God saw that blood. That blood was either there or it's not there. Tonight, you're either saved or you're lost. The blood's either on that door or it's not on your door. It's not a maybe tonight. It's not, well, I don't feel saved. I'm sorry if you don't feel saved. This is about facts tonight. You either are saved or you're not saved. Have you come to the Lord Jesus? If you've come to the Lord Jesus, you're saved. But if you're not, you're in a very dangerous place tonight. You're on your way to hell. You're on your way to hell. If a spirit stops striving with you, you're on your way to hell. If the Lord Jesus comes, you're on your way to hell. And if you die tonight, you will be in hell. It's a scary spot to be a Christ rejecter. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus, He was seeking out this woman. And this woman was very thirsty. And she wasn't thirsty for water like down here in this bottle. That's not what it was. The Lord Jesus was thirsty. And you know, He was, I'm sure, physically thirsty. It says He was wearied. He walked 42 miles. I don't want to ask the question because I've heard of people that have walked a long ways to go to Bible conferences. And it is humiliating to think that they walk that far to hear the Word of God. But the Savior walked 42 miles for one person. And you know who got a drink? The Lord Jesus got a drink. The Lord Jesus got a drink. She came and she believed Him. Tonight, are you going to come? Are you going to come? You're going to say yes to the Lord Jesus? We heard the story last night. Men like me, women, men and women like us, sinful hearts, nailed the Savior to the cross of Calvary. And He was on that cross between heaven and earth, a spectacle for men and women, mocking Him. God looking down on Him. God looking on His Son. And then God put all my sins on Him. And it turned black in the middle of the day. It says God made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord Jesus was made sin so I could be free. And God cannot look on sin. God is holy. And God could not look on His Son. And what did the Lord Jesus say on that cross? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why it was? You know why it was? Because He loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave. You know, you can't have it both ways. You have to accept that you're a sinner. And you have to accept that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Or you have to go to hell and say, that sacrifice, that payment for sins is not good enough. Tonight, how will you have it? God loves you so much that it refers to this in Scripture. What I'm doing right now is the foolishness of preaching. You know, we sing that song about angels musing over the sight so strangely sad. God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. Can you think of it? Think of the angels. It makes no sense. Men and women in a room like this rejecting the Savior. They just look on. Oh, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, God can't make you love Him. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. Are you not attracted to the Lord Jesus? Does His love not attract your heart tonight? Is there not an attraction to Him? Can you say tonight, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. You know, this woman, not only did she come, but she told other people in verse 29, and that's the last verse we're going to read. It says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, if you are saved tonight, you need to tell someone else about it. Let's give thanks for the time. Our Father, we just pray that if there's a soul in this room that is trifling with rejecting the gospel, that they would just stay right in their chair and accept Thee as their Savior. And they would just turn to You, Lord, and admit that they're a sinner, believe that Thou art the Savior, and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus to someone else. We just give thanks that we can still preach the gospel tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.